Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio, 93.9 The Game. It's the morning shift. My name is Mike. He's Bo. He's Dylan. We're all just hanging out and having a good time here on this Wednesday morning. Appreciate you guys so much for taking us along with you. Going to get to the wake-up call here in just a second. I also want to play this Kirby Smart Cut, but just a quick rundown of some of the headlines we've been talking about throughout the day. The Mariners take a 2-1 series lead over the Tigers with an 8-4 win. Yankees stay alive. 9-6 win to force a game four. All these teams will be in action tonight. The Cleveland Browns have traded quarterback Joe Flacco to the Cincinnati Bengals. NCAA adopting new transfer portal dates that apply not only to January, but also if the coach is fired. And Jonathan Gannon was fined $100,000 for his incident on the sideline in that game this past weekend. Bo, I want to get to this this cut, and I want to ask you a couple of different questions about it. But first, let me let you hear it. Kirby Smart was in his press conference, and he was asked a question about Jesse Palmer's thoughts on the game.
Kirby, Jesse Palmer on air Saturday said Georgia's defense needs more creativity on third downs. Seems to have guys lined up on most third downs in the same spots. Is that a fair assessment?
I don't know. You'd have to ask Jesse. I'm happy for Jesse. I'm glad he makes a living getting to make those decisions. I focus on what gives us a chance to be successful, play well, execute well. Who's in the game, you know, what strategy do they have on offense? Are they going fast? Are they going slow? I don't concern myself with it much.
Dude, let me just speak Kirby out there, okay? There was a slight pause where he takes a breath of air. I don't know if y'all noticed it, but he goes, just like that, he goes, he was about to go in on this reporter. And I don't think he was going to go in on Jesse. I think it's like, okay, Jesse has a job to do. I think he was about to ask this reporter, or in his mind, he's going, who do you trust more to coach college defense, Jesse Palmer or Kirby Smart? All right, who's got national title rings? Who's the greatest coach in college football right now? All right, thank you, Jesse Palmer, for calling it out. But I think, and you've listened back to it, I'm telling you, there is a very, very short gasp of air going, he just, and I was like, I think that he kind of reset his brain in that moment to be like, you know what? I'm not doing this right now. I'm just going to talk about us. I'm just going to focus back on my own program.
It's something real.
It's a bad question.
You know what's crazy? I'm at a loss here, and the reason is that you just mentioned and Kirby just talked about why. All these people that sit on Twitter and watch film and
right.
break down tape and trash coaches and name call them and act like they're experts and everything. And, you know, people can say, well, you do that too. No, I watch it with guys that played in the league, and then I ask them what I think I saw, and they tell me if I'm right or wrong. Then I run with it. But why they don't know what the hell they're doing.
You're not out there calling 12-year tight ends scared?
No, I'm not. And then doubling down on it, and then deleting the tweet, and then lying the next
day
about it.
And then saying, you know what, man, it's just got to be a player.
Yeah, yeah. And then saying, I was just joking the other day about it. No, I don't do that. Or name call people and act like I'm an insider on all these things. The funny thing is that Steve Spagnuolo, and I know you played it and you talked about the Pro Football Focus, but we don't know what they're seeing, what they're doing. It's not easy in the moment, guys. It's a lot easier for Lewis Riddick to sit there and tell you why Arch Manning, I'm not picking on Lewis. This is just a good example because I think Lewis does a good job in the booth. Actually, I have come to really like Lewis Riddick and Bob Wiskusen in the booth. Why it's easy for Arch Manning's got to hit the seam route because it's open. Well, it's easy to say that because you see it because you know what you're looking for, and I think Arch does too. But the problem is you haven't had 2 seconds to throw all day from the time the ball hits your hand.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so, and now you don't know where that route lies in his progressions, which is the play, right? Where you're told here, here, here. That seam route might be the fourth read in his progression. And me not, and by the way,
ding.
Why isn't Steve Sarkisian saying, hey, run the same play, but look, your second progression should be the seam route. Also, that's a slow develop, that might be a slow developing route because it was the tight end that was running it. So I'm saying all that to say, it's easy for Jesse to say those things because he's seeing it from the 1,000-foot view, right?
Yeah.
And Kirby's like, I don't, and in reality, what Kirby Smart really wants to say is, I don't give a blank what Jesse Palmer is saying to do because he's not, I'm going by based on thousands of hours of film breakdown of what I think they're going to do.
Dylan, give me that gasp one more time. You got that thing?
I focus on.
I just need the.
He's like, bro, you know what? I'm just gonna go back to Georgia. That's all I'm going to focus on right now. I'm not focused on Jesse Palmer. Hey, 404-726-0929. We got the wake-up call coming up. You got thoughts on Auburn, Georgia this weekend, Bam, Missouri. Which one's more likely to be an upset? You know, maybe you do want to talk about that ingenuity of the Georgia pass rush or the Georgia defense. Also, asked the question earlier, which defensive player for the Atlanta Falcons is going to have the biggest role in the game on Monday Night Football against James Cook, Josh Allen, and the Buffalo Bills? 404-726-0929.
So you don't.
What do you need?
You don't think Zach Ertz was scared of Jalen Walker?
I don't think so, man. I think he's seen some bigger and badder dudes. There is a higher probability that Zach Ertz, and I'm not saying he doesn't, but there's a higher probability that he doesn't even know who Jalen Walker is than him being scared of Jalen Walker. Like there is a much higher probability. There's this thing called an arc block, man. Some people like to run that style of offense. And some people don't. All right, let's go to the phone lines. Like I said, 404-726-0929 if you guys want to weigh in. A lot of football talk today. Let's go out and get our first caller. Let's go to Daryl and McDonough. Daryl, what's going on, boss? Welcome to the show.
Good morning, guys.
Hey, man.
I'm not going to talk about the sports, right? I've been out of pocket, Bo, for a while. Squid Nation forever.
Oh, here we go.
Bo, I just want to call you and congratulate you to your new addition.
Oh,
I've been out of pocket for a while, but I never did get a chance to call in. So I want to congratulate you, Godfather, for having a great kid that you brought into the world, you and your queen.
Thank you, sir. You know what?
I
appreciate that call because he hasn't called us in a while. I got to call in, and that's kind of, you know.
Good to hear from you, buddy.
I think me and Baby Porkchop, we bonded over the last week, especially probably since Saturday we watched a little college football together. Sunday we watched the NFL, and then yesterday we went to Sam's together.
There you go.
So that's it. That, tell you something, you can't bond over a trip to Sam's Club.
I know we got to get back to more phone calls, but I will tell you, you were talking about wearing the Baby Bjorn through Sam's earlier. This is going to sound strange, a little bit jealous, man. The Baby Bjorn was not meant for a body this big, and my kids didn't enjoy when I tried to put one on, a little front holder. They didn't want to be facing out. They didn't want to be facing in. Maybe it was my body heat. I don't know, but they didn't enjoy me being a part of Baby Bjorn.
I do realize a couple things. After wearing the Baby Bjorn a couple times over the weekend, she likes it better. Probably when Mama is wearing it.
There's no doubt.
But, too, we went over and we played. We found this new horse, game with dice and cards. Like, it's a new kind of a game. Way to gamble, really. That's all it is.
You and Melrose were gambling?
Well, we went out Friday night.
Oh, okay.
Amy went to watch that Taylor Swift thing. And so me and Baby Porkchop walked across the street, and we rolled some dice in that game, and she was stuck in the Baby Bjorn. And I was like... And I was like, am I a bad parent?
As long as you're not spilling beer on her head like while you're drinking, you're good.
No,
Baby Bjorn's good to go.
I had the vodka sparkling ice in the Yeti with the lid, so I didn't spill.
You almost got to get like one of those 3-foot straws so you're not spilling stuff on top of her head when you're talking. All right, let's go back to the phone lines. Let's talk to our buddy John from LaGrange. John, what's going on, man? Welcome back to the show.
Hey, guys. It's been a while.
Yeah, man.
Unfortunately, but fortunately, I've been a Razorback fan since 1974. So I'm talking Lou Holtz and everybody that is somebody. But It absolutely, positively is not going to be Bobby Petrino.
Wow.
I can tell you that for a fact. I know somebody. I know somebody who knows somebody who knows somebody.
And it does, is does either that person going know to Rhett Lashley?
Yeah, thank you, Mike. It is going to be either Rhett Lashley or I've got two. Your defensive coordinator, I believe his name is Schumann.
Yeah.
Yeah, Glenn Schumann.
That's a good one.
So those are the two guys that they are absolutely going to go after, and it is not going to be Bobby Petrino. It'll be the junior high coach at Old Main High School in Little Rock before it is Bobby Petrino.
I appreciate your phone call, man. Oh,
they better
so
open the loosen the purse strings, so to speak.
Yeah, you know,
based on what the AD said there recently. And you know, I was listening to Cole Kublik on his pod, and he was like, hey, I think the fact that they allowed him to make all the changes he did.
I agree.
Tells me that they really like the fact. I hope you're right, John, because I don't want to see Bobby Petrino ever have a head coaching job in a Power 5 or Power 4 school again as far as a head coach. But I don't know if I see it that way.
There is a sense of, like, kind of makes them a laughing stock in a way. That, like, every picture you're ever going to see is of him in that neck brace. It's just absolutely ridiculous. I'll say this about the Arkansas job. I think that it would be really strange, and you have to. Maybe I'm wrong about this. When's the last time they had a defensive minded head coach at Arkansas? If it was Glenn Schumann, well, I can't even think of one.
What was Houston Nutt?
I think he was offense.
Was he offense? He might have been. I can't remember. I don't know. It's hard for me to answer. I'm gonna Google it.
All right, go ahead and Google that, and I'm gonna go back to the phone lines. Let's try to squeeze one more in here. Let's talk to our buddy Coleman over in Winder, Georgia. Coleman, what's going on, man? Welcome back to the show.
Hey, how's it going, Squid Billy Nation?
Oh, let's
in
go.
The building.
Damn.
Woo.
What a rough day.
The Auburn and Georgia's fine. I think Georgia will beat them. The upset will be more on Alabama.
Yeah. Yeah, I think
so. Yeah, me too. So, as far as with the defensive players, really, can I just, like, choose all of them? Because they're all nasty. So, I mean, I just, you know, they fly around. And
attaboy.
I just – let's try to get them on the ground as much so that defensive front needs to do good. How about that? I can't single out anybody because they're all too good.
Yeah.
For me.
I appreciate the phone call, man. A lot of good stuff going on. And we got to put the vibes forward. We talked about this earlier. The game is at 7:20 or 7:15. On Monday, not 8:20. It's not the late time slot. It is part of the Monday Night Football doubleheader. You got an answer for me?
Bielema, man. Brett Bielema was a DC at Wisconsin.
I didn't even.
You know what's funny? I can tell you more about co-ed bars that Bielema used to hit at Wisconsin than his days as a DC there. Because that man went out on the town. Bielema loved to live it, man. He lived it up.
Yeah, he definitely did. I don't know how I was drawing a blank on Bielema, of all people. But he's just one of those guys that I was just sitting back there going, I'm like, man, you know, I remember playing, I played at Arkansas when Gus Malzahn just got that OC job. That was crazy times to be a part of everything. All right. Hey, when we come back, we're going to talk more college football. We're going to welcome in Jerry Palm. He's going to talk about the college football playoff and everything he thinks is going on with a lot of these teams. Who's fraudulent? Like Bo said, stick with us here. It's a Morning Shift Sports Radio. 92.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk. Crazy weather we're having. No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
A game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Welcome back in. It is the morning shift. Just a reminder, this hour brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com to get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. A lot of college football conversation going on today, partly because the Atlanta Falcons don't play until Monday against the Buffalo Bills, but obviously that has been a lot of fun having that conversation. We'll get into more of that coming up at 8:40 today. But for right now, we're going to go to the phone lines. We're going to welcome in college football playoff expert, Mr. Jerry Palm. And Jerry, appreciate you joining us this morning. I think a lot of the talk around college football playoff projections and brackets has kind of centered around, you know, how many teams from each conference can get in. And I know that you've put out a projection on Sunday about your college football playoff bracket. How many SEC teams do you have actually making it into that top 12?
Let's see. I think it was four. Alabama, Georgia, Mississippi, and A&M. So four.
Awesome.
Jerry, with the new the way that they're doing with the weighted strength, you know, schedule where you don't get hurt more these days for losing to bad teams and you get less help by beating bad teams, with that loss at UCLA, unless they somehow find a way to win the Big Ten, which looks like it couldn't happen, is Penn State completely out now?
Well, I don't know. There's too many games left to say that for sure. They have a game in which they can redeem themselves, and that's at Ohio State later this season. But there's not a whole lot of other chances. I mean, first of all, unless UCLA turns into something that we're not expecting after that 0-4 start, that's going to be a stain on their tournament resume, if you will. That's going to be hard to erase. There just isn't a whole lot of way around it. It's Penn State, though, they have to go to Iowa. Ohio State on the road is their biggest, toughest game left. They also get Indiana at home and Nebraska at home, but Indiana is a team in the rankings where – you know, they really need to be able to defend their home field if they have any realistic shot of crawling back into playoff contention. I just think that the UCLA loss, especially if they don't beat Ohio State, even if they beat Indiana, I think that it's an uphill climb.
Jerry, I want to stay right there with the Big Ten. I think this would have been a question that I couldn't even fathom asking when the season started. But, you know, you kind of outlined it. I know you got Indiana going in. If they were to get, like, boat raced by Oregon, just follow me here. Is there any chance, because, like I said, this seemed like I wouldn't have fathomed asking this question a couple of months ago. Is there any chance that we're only talking about two Big Ten teams actually getting in if Indiana were to have a lopsided loss and Penn State were to lose maybe one more game this year?
Well, and one of them would have to lose again because they're going to play each other.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, if it's bad, if they get beat badly at Oregon, I mean, Indiana's only been on the road once this year. That was their last game at Iowa 2 weeks ago now, and they've only won 20-15. So they're going to have to be a little more locked in when they play at Oregon because that's an outstanding team. That'll be a really good test for Indiana, maybe their second toughest since Kurt Cignetti took over last year, last year's game at Ohio State being the toughest. I guess Notre Dame on the road in the playoff as well, but I think the game at Oregon is going to be a really strong test of Indiana. Are they the team that beat Illinois 63-10, or are they the team that beat Iowa by 5?
Jerry, here Georgia Tech got off to a great start. They're 5-0. The win over Clemson doesn't look as good now. But they've got, I think, 5 of their next 7 games, or their last 7, are teams over 500, other than Vitek this week and, Boston College. Do they have to beat Georgia and make the ACC title game and potentially win it, or if they beat Georgia and finish in that 10-win range, they got a really good shot at making the playoff.
I think that they've got a pretty favorable schedule. Some of these teams are over 500, but, you know, we're only six games into the season. So, they've got road games with Duke, NC State, and Boston College. Boston College is pretty bad. And Duke and NC State, though, will be challenges. And then their home games, you just have to win. And then they've got a reasonably clear path to the ACC title game. Because they don't have to play Miami. They don't have to play Florida State. So they got a pretty good schedule. I mean, nothing's easy, especially on the road in conference, but if they can get to that Georgia game, you know, what would it be, 11-0? If they haven't got a loss before that game, they're almost a lock for the playoff at that point. But if they take a loss before then, they lose to Georgia. With two losses, 10-2 could get them in, but they probably would need to be – they'd probably need to play for that title. If they don't get a game against Miami or Florida State and they lose to Georgia, it's probably – I would say most likely not going to be good enough to get them in.
Now, real quick follow-up. Now, I know you know a little bit about how – you know, kind of some of the things they weigh when they're on the committee. If they did make it to that game 11-0 and then they got blown out in both of those games, though, would they kind of knock them out? The committee kind of say, look, we've seen this before. We've seen kind of Indiana be kind of a team that looked like they were good enough when they didn't play the big boys and then played them and kind of got blown out, so we're not going to put that product in?
I don't know if they'd hold Indiana against someone else. I mean, each team is evaluated on its own merits, and you can't compare – it depends on who their competition is for a final spot in the playoff. Indiana last year is not their competition or who they're fighting for a spot against. So it really just depends on who they're fighting for a spot against. But the relative lack of a strength of schedule, missing an ACC that's not real good otherwise for the most part, and they don't play Virginia either. So Virginia's having a surprising year, and Georgia Tech doesn't have to play them either. So their conference schedule will not help them, which is why they can't really afford to lose any of those games if they're going to make the playoff. They need to win all of their regular season conference games, which would put them in the conference championship game and then see what happens. But would put them in. I guess you could have a three-way tie. But the ACC schedule this year is really weird because the top teams, the Virginia, Georgia Tech, Miami, and Florida State have very few games amongst each other. Oh, and Duke is still undefeated in the league as well. So those five teams have fewer than five games, I think, combined against each other.
Hanging out with Jerry Palm. He is a college football playoff expert. You can find him at palmbrackets.com. Jerry, I want to keep talking about this ACC. Now, you do have Georgia Tech as an 11 seed in your bracket right now, facing off of Texas A&M, and the winner of that one facing Bama. I do find it curious because you just kind of ran down the ACC teams. You've got Florida State in your playoff bracket as well instead of a team like a Virginia or a Duke. Talk to us a little bit about that and what Florida State's resume could look like at that point to put them at an 8 seed.
Well, I still like, you know, Florida State. I think that they're, to me, the second-best team in the league. These other teams that are still undefeated, to me, are a little bit unchallenged. As a Virginia loss, we'll see how that looks at the end of the year. And obviously, they can't afford to lose again. Florida State can't. They need to be no worse than 10-2. If you look at the games they have left, they have to go to Clemson. Will Clemson be awake by then? They showed some signs this week, but against the worst team in the conference, most likely. They have to go to Florida, and they showed some signs of life this week as well. But the margin for error for Florida State is over. They got to get to 10-2. Maybe they could get back into the championship game, but if they don't, 10-2 with a win at Florida and the win at Alabama, that's huge for them. So that's a win that, you know, these other teams like Georgia Tech won't have, Virginia probably won't have. You know, those wins, you know, Florida State getting that win at over Alabama, albeit at home, is going to be big for them if they can get to 10-2.
Is there a world that we live in where a three-loss SEC team could make the playoff? I think South Carolina, who has a brutal schedule, could end up with three losses, but if they finish strong, maybe. Florida would have to win out, though, to do that. But the just how brutal these team schedules are, is there a world that we lost while playoff at 12 teams that a three-loss team could be in there?
It would have to be a team with a really strong schedule and some good wins. 9-3, it's going to be and it obviously depends on what happens in other places. But a 9-3 SEC team with a really strong schedule, no bad loss, you'd have to have a quality win or two in there as well. It's Florida pulls it off. Have you seen their schedule?
I'm a Florida fan.
They're gonna get to the end of the season and play 12 games, and 8 of them will probably be ranked. It's crazy. So if they pull it off, you know, that's one thing. If you've got a team that somehow lucked into a relatively soft schedule and gets to 9-3, then you're gonna have to have a strong schedule. You're gonna have to have some quality wins, and then you'll have to see what other teams are doing.
Yeah, there you have it. That's Jerry Palm. You can find him on X at JPPalm85 or at palmbrackets.com. Jerry, appreciate you hanging out with us this morning, buddy.
All right, thanks.
That's good stuff right there. Hey, we're going to talk about the Falcons when we come back. Quick reminder, with Atlanta United's season winding down, be sure to join Jason Longshore every Tuesday night for Atlanta Soccer Tonight. Jason has you covered all season long on the latest Atlanta United news. Plus, he's keeping tabs on international soccer as well. That's Atlanta Soccer Tonight, brought to you by your local Ford dealer. Tuesday nights on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, and available the next day at the Off the Woodwork podcast on Odyssey. When we come back, you're going to hear more from Raheem Morris and those Falcons. The buildup continues. You're also going to get A Life of Squid.
I started a brand new TV show and then started season one. I want to talk about them because, one of them.
Vacation must have been nice, huh?
No, dude, it was in between, I tell you. All next on the Morning Show, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and
the Odyssey app.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk. Crazy weather we're having. No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It's the Morning Shift. Welcome back in 8:42 a.m. here on a Wednesday morning, talking all things, well, really everything. We've hit just about everything in the show today, including the chicken sandwich wars that happened in Dylan's top five yesterday. Been a lot of fun. Hey, this segment's brought to you by John Foy and Associates, experienced personal injury attorneys. Get the strong arm.
Speaking of hitting everything.
Yeah.
Do you ever have like a moment at home where it's you're solo and you go, I'm a badass. Like, I'm so good. Like when you're with your kids and you do something else, it's not like so yesterday I told you I had pork chop the last couple of days. Amy was like traveling around for her job, and yesterday she's playing and I go into the kitchen to grab something in the pantry, had just gotten to a point where we had ignored it, and we kept ignoring it, and I got tired of ignoring it, and I was like, I want to look at this, and then I broke a glass bottle out of the pantry.
Okay.
And instead of didn't lose my mind, didn't anything, I go, you know what? I'm going to work around her schedule, and I'm going to completely pull everything out of this pantry and then redo it. And then when I got
That's what made you feel like a badass?
hold on.
Okay, I'm just checking. I'm
like, hold on. Here's what made me feel. Because, like, sometimes I'll get a project and I'll, like, get distracted. I have to finish projects as soon as I start them. That's why when I was in school, I would never start a project until, like, a day or so before the due date. Like, with a report or whatever. Because I was like, the only way I'm going to get it done and do it right is go all the way through it. Because, like, I'm locked in, and then when I lose my – I'm like, don't finish it. So I got to stay hungry, you know what I mean, on the trail to finish that.
In the pantry.
So I'm working around her. She's playing right now. I got Toy Story, like, 3 on 4, and she's, like, playing with – like, she's got the piano little thing she's sitting up doing and everything. And I'm like – and I keep bouncing over there to make sure she's good. And I can see her. You know, she's in my sight, but if she, like, you know, loses something or whatever – and then I had to stop because I had to rock her to sleep and everything. And then I go back, and so I was like, I'm never going to get back to it. But it didn't. Got the whole thing. Yeah, and my pantry. Dude, you should have seen my pantry. It took like 2 hours. And I was like, but then it made me think. I was like, man, I can multitask and have the kid. I'm going to be okay.
Glad that you were excited.
Then
glad that you were excited.
I actually, Mike, you know, I feel like you're kind of downplaying his achievement a little bit. I completely understand Bo in this regard, because there would be times where I would, going back to when I used to live at home, I would mow with a push mower, mow the front yard, the backyard, take my dog for a walk, and give her a bath all in the same day. I felt really accomplished those days.
I was going to say, there's a difference, though, in feeling accomplished and feeling like a badass.
But, I mean, I feel like it's almost like one and the same.
But yeah, badass kind of relative term. I mean, I kind of always feel
accomplished. Yeah.
I always walk around like that. I mean, you know, you're 5'8" and a half. You got to walk around like you're a badass. People are going to try to take advantage of you. They still do.
Got to get that half in there. Got to get that half in there.
Hey, man. I don't know. I was out driving you the other day.
Look.
Golf ball.
Were you really?
Yeah.
No, at no point did you ever outdrive me. There's
oh, really?
No doubt.
At
only
no
if
point?
My ball hit a tree.
Uh-oh. Here we go.
Well,
only if my ball hit
I hate
a tree.
To break it
gloves
to you.
Are coming
but
off.
That is out driving you. If I'm hitting it straight,
okay. If you want to include mine, hit a tree. Yeah.
How many fairways did you hit? How many fairways did I hit? Let's just go there. How about that? How about that?
Who won?
Mike's had a better round.
Okay.
I thought
I was gonna say that's the second round of golf I played in the last calendar year.
Well, first off, in fairness to us, neither one of us got to finish full round because we both had to go pick up our kids. But
yeah. Both had bigger obligations.
I always have like 3 or 4 blow-up holes in an 18 at least, and it just completely the wheels come off.
How many holes did y'all play?
12 or 13.
I also got stung on the golf course.
Oh,
by Yellow Jacket.
What's it with you and Yellow Jackets, man? They got a hit out, bounty out for you or something?
We were in the woods looking for somebody's ball.
The most predictable thing ever. The most predictable thing ever. Bo plays a good first hole. I think hits a decent shot of the second tee.
First two holes.
He's like, but it wasn't like two great holes. It was like par, like good tee shot, but double bogey.
No, it was a bogey.
And then Bo gets stung.
And it's the hardest hole in the course.
Of course, on the hole 3 where he starts messing, playing great till I get stung by a freaking Yellow Jacket. I'm like, dude, that was the most predictable thing of all time.
Yeah. First off, the second hole is the hardest hole in the course.
Yeah.
And I've got a bogey on it, which is for my handicap
okay.
Pretty good.
Right.
Anyway.
Let's talk about the Atlanta Falcons. Let's talk about Raheem Morris yesterday. He was asked about the challenges of stopping Josh Allen and how exactly are you supposed to rush him?
You know, well, this week's unique, right? You got a guy back there that we just mentioned that is unique in itself. So when you do pressure, you like to get him on the ground. You know, if you don't, he can make you pay in the worst way. So, like, you just want to focus on making sure that we are in the right rush lanes and doing the right things in order not to allow him out the pocket to be able to crease you and run the football, right? We had Baker get us, I think, 3 times in the first game. You know, Mariota got out once or twice. And these guys are getting more and more athletic. So you just got to make sure you focus on how you use your rush lanes, how to utilize some of those things, whether you're a blitzer or whether you're just part of the four-man rush, whatever the case may be. So, like, the discipline, the vision and violence that you need to rush with has to be sure we always keep that on the uptick.
I'd be curious to see which way they go.
I can hear the guy right now. Oh, man, just spy him. Just leave a spy.
Yeah.
And I would say that that's actually not a bad idea. I'll go ahead and give you that. It's not a bad idea. Problem, and I want you to talk about this. The problem is when you leave a spy for him and you have a guy, now you're taking a guy to coverage. So if you're rushing 4 every time, you're essentially committing 5 players every passing down to there. And one of them is not even rushing. He's just sitting there. Now, you can say he's kind of filling an area, but the only thing he's paying attention to is the quarterback, and he's moving with the quarterback.
Here's what drives me crazy about making it that simplistic, and I know that you'll appreciate this, and I hope the people out there will as well. You think that you're the first person that's ever thought, I'll spy Josh Allen. That'll shut him down. Like, that's the key. You know what I mean? And do you think for 1 minute that the Buffalo doesn't know that you're having to do some of these things to stop Josh Allen? They are well aware. They are well aware. They know when you're in man coverage or zone coverage. They know that you want to play zone so that everybody in your secondary doesn't turn and run away from Josh Allen. They know these things, dude. Like, you're not the first person to have thought of these things.
Are you sure?
When they're facing off against Josh Allen. So if you're sitting in your car going, gotta spy him, yeah, no kidding. Now, to dive deeper into that, I wouldn't even rush him. Like, I think this sounds crazy. I would say if Josh Allen beats us strictly from the pocket, then he just beat us. I'd put three guys up front. I would make sure that they don't run past him, that they're just simply pushing the pocket and keeping one arm free so they can try to come off and make a tackle. But there just is not a massive history of success when you are rushing 4, 5, 6 against Josh Allen. And I'll be curious to see how – now, you have to pick your spots. You can't do the same thing every play. But you, I'd be curious to see what Raheem and Jeff Ulbrich are going to dial up.
If you do that, do you then have a spy? Because my problem with the three-man rush –
I think you have two.
My problem with the three-man rush is that, you know, those are going to – there's going to be more lane. I feel like there's more rush lanes there. I know you just talked about, well, don't get behind him. Don't allow the tackle to push you around and where he can step up and in. But inevitably, I mean, it's going to happen, and you're going to have a backup plan, a plan for that plan. And I feel like also with those three-man rush, if AJ's back, fine. I also don't know if I want AJ back off a hamstring pull where he's having to cover for 10 seconds. I think that lends itself to Curtis Samuel finding a way to work open, or Khalil Shakir doing that, or just throwing a jump ball to Keon Coleman, who's a bigger player. And I think you're – look, I'm not going to say that you're not onto something, because I trust you football-wise way more than I trust myself. I know you know these things, but I do think that even that – I just think he's a good enough player that, much like Lamar Jackson and like Patrick Mahomes, it's not so simple. And you're going to have to stop the run, and you cannot let him and James Cook be a two-headed monster.
Well, and let me say this, and we got to get to Life of Squid, but here's what I'll say. In order for me to make the decision, okay, I'm only going to rush three or I'm going to spy, you have to get them in obvious passing downs. And that's where the problem is. Can you get them in obvious passing downs and stop James Cook? I don't know the answer to that, and I think the Falcons are going to be put up to bat to try to be able to do that as well. Hey, a reminder, join the morning shift every Friday for the Tailgate at Home presented by Publix. Bo Morgan fires up the grill and shares his favorite game day recipes, and you can share your best work on the grill by tweeting at The Morning Shift, at 929 Morning Shift. That's the Tailgate at Home presented by Publix. Feed your fandom. Feel the hype this year with Publix every Friday morning on Sports Radio 929 The Game.
Yeah, I think we'll be at a Publix Friday, Mike.
Can't wait.
That's right.
And Buckhead.
Yeah, Piedmont Road.
I don't want to go too deep in the weeds. That one used to be a Kroger, right? It's the one right across Twin Peaks.
Oh, yeah, it used to be the old Disco Kroger, I guess.
Yeah.
Is you sure that's the one?
I'm pretty sure.
Okay, well, I have to double check. But, yeah, I used to go to that all the time when I lived in Buckhead.
I used to go to that LA Fitness
when it was
right
I did, too.
Yeah.
But when it was a Kroger, I saw Joe Hawley in there actually one time.
There you go. Yeah.
No, this was after his van.
Oh, okay.
Trip.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, that's different.
I didn't talk to him. I just saw him. I was like, hey, that's Joe Hawley. I was like, yeah, I guess he's back from his, van trip. Anyways.
I don't think he ever came back.
Well, in body, God bless.
He was just picking up some good rap. Oh, no, you saw him at the gym, not Publix. Never mind.
Well, it was a Kroger then, too. So, but it's Publix now. So, Publix. Anyways, Baron Burton's W Sauce at Publix. I actually got some country-style ribs from Publix yesterday. Man, I love cooking those. They're so good. Anyways, all right. Had a few days off. Well, obviously, we played some golf. I did start the new show with Glenn Powell, which is an Omaha Productions in association with ESPN. It's on the Hulu. Chad Powers.
Love it.
Have you seen it?
But I love that you started it, because now I want to watch.
It's so they're doing the slow release. So So the first three episodes are out. I've watched all three.
Interesting.
It's kind of what you think. It's got some funny moments. It's awkward. It's got some, you know, it's basically a redemption story.
Okay.
So, but I like it so far. I think it's got a chance. It's, you know, I don't mind some. Everything needs to be like, not everything I watch needs to be like death and, you know, anti-hero.
True crime.
Yeah. Like, not everything has to be the Game of Thrones or Sopranos.
Yeah,
right.
No,
like,
I agree
we
with
can
you.
Still like that kind of stuff. I also started the second season of the show with John Cena on HBO called Peacemaker. Dylan, have you seen this?
I haven't seen it, but I want to watch it because it looks very good.
Did you ever watch? You didn't watch the first season either?
No, I didn't watch first season.
So
either.
The first season was really good. I enjoyed it. The second season so far is weird.
Okay.
James Gunn does it.
Yeah, and I know they tied it all up to the DC universe too.
Yeah. Yeah, they did. Well, he's a DC. It's
yeah, he runs DC.
He's
now.
From the Suicide Squad.
Correct.
Peacemaker, the character's from Suicide Squad.
Interesting.
And they actually the spoiler alert I'll tell you is that both seasons kind of go based off of the Suicide Squad that Peacemaker was in with James John Cena.
Yeah.
So John Cena's good in it. So mm-hmm. James Gunn's wife stars in it too.
Good stuff.
Which is
nice.
Odd. But yeah, they're both pretty good. You need to catch up on Chat Power so we can talk about it.
Okay.
You need to catch up, Dylan. You need to go ahead and watch the whole season and then this first couple episodes of the second season so you can catch up with me.
What is it on?
HBO Max.
All right. I'm starting it today.
Can you go watch the Catfish show, though, so we can chop that one up?
Yeah, I need to. Also, now I want to catch that Ed Gein.
Oh, I've heard it's
show,
crazy.
Because our buddy Doug was telling us about
it. I've heard that is nuts.
Yeah. Well, that's a true story as well.
Well, tonight's the night to do it if you're going to do it because we got so much college football and NFL football coming up this weekend that we're going to be keeping track of. Thank you guys so much for hanging out with us today. Reminder, this hour is bread and brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com to get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. Steakhouse is coming up right after this. We'll be back with you in the morning at 6 a.m. Until then, make sure you
watch Chad Powers.
Interesting.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.